Hello, welcome to the Friday, April 17th, 2015 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Orlando, Florida. This morning we raised our Infocon level to yellow over exploits that are being attempted in the wild against MS-15034, the HTTP .sys vulnerability. Overall, there isn't a lot new, just that it's actually being exploited now to take down system. So these are not scans that just try to check if you're vulnerable or not, but instead they're actually intended to launch the denial of service attack. There are also more demos and proof of concept exploits, and particularly focusing on the data leakage part of the vulnerability, and that certainly has been shown now to be exploitable. But this part of the vulnerability is still a little bit iffy to exploit and not necessarily reproducible. As far as the remote code execution goes, nothing really about this. This appears to be really more related to the data leakage exploit, where data that's then being leaked can be used to exploit other vulnerabilities. One question that keeps coming up is what would be leaked as part of that memory. Well, it would be kernel memory that is used by HTTP.sys. How much memory is leaked really depends on the size of the file that the attacker attempts to retrieve using the range header. And essentially, this could be anything from other HTML pages or images that are stored as part of HTTP.sys's kernel cache. We had a quick webcast also demoing some of these exploits earlier today. An archive will be made available shortly, and I will link to the archive from the show notes once it's available. And we also got a great diary today by Brad about TeslaCrypt, a newer version of crypto malware, first seen around January. One of the interesting issues here is that this particular malware appears to focus on gamers. A lot of the files that are being targeted by this malware and are being encrypted are online game-related files, like, for example, World of Warcraft and the like. The ransom charged by this malware is actually quite steep. It's around $500, of course, to be paid in Bitcoin. So the price is fluctuating somewhat. However, the Bitcoin address used by this particular malware has so far not received any payments. So looks like they're not really doing all that well. And the Government Accountability Office, together with the FAA, did release an interesting report about some of the cybersecurity issues affecting airlines and airplanes. Well, as airplanes are more and more networked, not only within the airplane itself, but also with ground connections, some of these issues came up, and turns out that the cockpit network and the network the passengers are using is physically not separated. Instead, there's just a firewall that separates those two networks. Also, uplinks to ground systems are shared between cockpit networks and passengers. The report points out that the FAA needs to come up with certification standards for these networks, and that these standards need to consider cybersecurity in order to make sure that a passenger or even a person on the ground cannot control the avionics network in the cockpit. And Virginia decided to disqualify VinVote voting machines from any future elections. Turns out they have been in use in Virginia since 2002 and had a number of large security holes that have so far not been addressed. One of the more severe ones probably is the fact that they have been using Wi-Fi, and the Wi-Fi access was insufficiently secured, so anybody within Wi-Fi range could have broken into one of these voting machines and altered the vote count. Also, physical security controls on the machines were insufficient. For example, there were exposed USB ports that could have been used to take over the machine. For example, to connect USB sticks and such that can then be used to load malware or other remote control tools into the voting machines. And D-Link recently released a patch for its routers, in particular the DIR645 and DIR890L. Well, it turns out that this patch not only doesn't really fix the vulnerability, but instead introduces new vulnerabilities to the router that can all lead to arbitrary code execution. In this case, it's particularly the HNAP feature that is the target of these vulnerabilities. Initially, a user could execute arbitrary actions. Now they're limited to valid HNAP requests, but still authentication is not happening. And due to an additional SprintF vulnerability that was introduced with the patch, there are actually more ways to cause arbitrary code execution. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for listening, and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.